The wind from the west at 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 42. The wind will be out of the north from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, the high 68. The wind from the east at 5 to 10. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The low 52. The wind from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday, mostly sunny and warm. Look for a high in the low 80s. The wind will be out of the south from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 60. Monday, mostly sunny with a high in the low 80s. Monday night and Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The low Monday night in the mid 50s. The high Tuesday in the upper 60s. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the mid-40s to the mid-70s with a mix of cloud and sun. It was cloudy in northern areas of Illinois and Indiana. In Rockford, 52 degrees at the top of the hour, O'Hare 50, Bloomington 66 in Mattoon and Carbondale 74. 45 at South Bend in Lafayette and in Indianapolis, 71 degrees. Terre Haute reported 76 degrees. It was mostly sunny at Willard Airport at the top of the hour. The temperature 75, the dew point 58, the relative humidity 55%, the wind out of the southwest at 21 with gusts to 28, the barometric pressure 29.71 and falling in at 1239, 71 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. A documentary that has been stirring up controversy for weeks opens today. Bully, from producer Harvey Weinstein, has made news for its controversial R rating from the Motion Picture Association of America. Weinstein argues the R rating prevents the movie's intended audience, children, from seeing it. So he decided to release Bully unrated. Kenneth Turan has a review.
Bully has an emotional impact that must be seen to be understood. Bully is a passion project for director Lee Hirsch, who also served as his own cinematographer. The film hopscotches around the country, looking at the situations of five different children that have suffered the effects of bullying. Two of these children, however, are unable to appear on camera. They're represented by their parents because they were driven to suicide by persistent taunting. As difficult as it is to watch children being bullied, it is just as hard to experience the look of unfathomable despair on the face of David Long of Maury County, Georgia, whose 17-year-old son Tyler hung himself in a closet in the family home.
From the day Tyler was born, I was probably the proudest dad in the world because he was the firstborn, he was the first son.
Bully also focuses on the situation of 12-year-old Alex Libby of Sioux City, Iowa. That school system takes the bullying problem seriously, and so it allowed filmmaker Hirsch access to the buses where much of the bullying of Alex takes place. Alex is desperate for friends, and because he doesn't want to make waves, he spends a lot of time trying to downplay the extent of his problem to his mother.
If you say these people are my friends, then what friends do I have?
Bully concludes with footage of an effective I Stand for the Silent campaign that encourages all kids to speak up when they see bullying taking place. Maybe, this film says, getting power to the powerless is not as impossible as it sounds.
Kenneth Turan reviews films for Morning Edition and the Los Angeles Times. A high school senior from Champaign is headed to a nationwide poetry recitation contest in Washington, D.C., after winning top honors in the state yesterday. Carolyn Muller of Central High School beat 15 other regional winners in the 8th annual Poetry Out Loud recitation contest, a program sponsored in part by the Illinois Arts Council. Muller tells Illinois Public Radio's Peter Gray that after losing the statewide competition her sophomore year, she was prepared to win this year.
When I performed my sophomore year, I liked all of my poems, but I really only connected to one of them. And this year, I really chose all three of my poems because I liked them and because I also felt like I could connect to them emotionally. And I think that really helped me. Also, I've had 2 more years of theater experience with the Champaign Central Drama Department, which has gone and performed at State with shows both my sophomore year and this past year, and it's an amazing, amazing program, and it's really helped me grow, and I got amazing feedback from my acting class because we workshopped the poems in class as an assignment before we performed it at the school level, and I really feel like the amazing feedback from my fellow students, from my student teacher, and from my teacher really, really helped me.
So it sounds like a lot of work to get to this point. How do you put together performance of verse with drama performance? Do those go hand in hand? How do you approach that as a performer?
I approach them in really the same way. And yes, it is a lot of work. It's work memorizing. It's work finding the right emotion. It's work finding the turn of emotion in the poem. Every dramatic piece, whether it's poetry, a monologue, a show, it all has a turn. And you have to find that turn and you have to really feel how the character feels. And with poetry, I definitely put myself in a character, but it was a character I could relate to, which made it so much easier. Poetry is something I've always loved. I also love to act, and so really the two talents just have gone hand in hand for me and really done amazing things for me in my life.
So you're headed to DC now. What are you going to do to prepare?
Well, I'm just going to continue to take the amazing advice of Miss Wilson, who is my drama teacher at Champaign Central High School. I'm going to continue to bask in the love and support from my family and friends and make sure I don't forget any of my lines in the poems. Poetry Out Loud is an amazing program, and I really hope that a lot of students at Champaign Central, Champaign Centennial, Urbana, and Uni all continue to participate in the program. And, you know, this really means a lot to me. This really means a lot to my family, and it's really going to mean a lot to my friends when I tell them. And so I've just had a lot of amazing support, and I know I couldn't have been good enough to win without all of the love and support I've gotten from everyone in my life.
That was Carolyn Muller, a senior at Champaign Central High School, speaking with Illinois Public Radio's Peter Gray. She's this year's winner of the 8th Annual Statewide Poetry Recitation Contest. Muller, a senior at Champaign Central High, will travel to Washington, D.C. in May to compete against high school students from around the country in Poetry Out Loud, a competition sponsored by the National Endowment for the Arts and the Poetry Foundation. A musical landmark in Champaign is back in place, and the Downtown Virginia Theater will celebrate its new sound with some fanfare this weekend. Illinois Public Media's Jeff Bossert explains.
Dave Schrader and John Buzard are tinkering with the Virginia Theater's 900-pipe Hope Jones orchestral organ, days before Saturday's rededication ceremony, celebrating the organ's first-ever full-scale restoration. While Buzard has just completed the nearly $150,000 restoration, Schrader is living out a childhood dream by playing at the theater. A music teacher at Bismarck Henning High School, Schrader also calls himself a closet theater organ freak. That's due in part to the late Warren York, who rose from the orchestra pit playing the Wurlitzer for more than 20 years.
Warren could sit and play anything, and he would play it in G flat or F sharp or whatever the key is that has the most black keys. And I'd say, aren't you making that awful difficult for yourself? He goes, why no? He said, if it was good enough for George Gershwin, it's good enough for me.
York passed away last July, but Schrader says his friend will be there in spirit for the organ's rededication ceremony. Buzard says by adding 2 ranks of pipes, the Wurlitzer should produce a sound no one has heard since its installation, essentially putting the woodwind and brass sections back in the band. pipes that theater supporters couldn't afford 90 years ago.
One of the fellows that has acted on our behalf as a consultant during this project told us, this is, of course, after we had done all of our work, he said, you know, John, this organ could have very easily wound up in the dumpster for as much work as was really required to bring this instrument back to life. And I certainly appreciated that, having gone through the process of restoring it all this last year.
Started in December 2010, the restoration was supposed to have been completed in November, but John Paul Buzard Pipe Organ Builders undertook what Buzard calls the equivalent of open-heart surgery on the Wurlitzer. His staff had to take it apart twice before discovering small cracks in the organ's chest, which meant control air escaped into the atmosphere. And he says wind generated below the stage wasn't properly making its way through the pipes.
What volunteers had tried to do in order to make the organ louder was that they'd actually damaged the pipes in order to try and make them speak louder. And the problem was that the organ never got enough wind from the blower. From 1921, that 90-year-old problem had never been troubleshot.
Virginia Theater Director Stephen Bentz says the organ's restoration will also make it more appropriate for new kinds of performances.
It was installed really to be an organ that would play under silent movies, and that's different from an organ that's put into a space in kind of a concert hall setting. And I think what they're doing and have done is bringing that along, you know, making the organ much more powerful.
On Saturday night, award-winning organist Chris Gorsuch comes in from the West Coast to see what a refurbished Wurlitzer can do. Bent says there's not an exact playlist as of yet for the two-hour concert, but Gorsuch will accompany Liberty, a 1929 silent film starring Laurel and Hardy. The evening also includes a presentation on the organ's restoration and an exhibit of Virginia artifacts. I'm Jeff Bossert, Illinois Public Media.
For a video of the Virginia organ and pipe chamber, a slideshow of pictures, and the full interview with John Buzard, visit our website, will.illinois.edu.
WILL programs are made possible by Strawberry Fields Natural Food Store, offering more than 3,000 certified organic products, freshly baked breads, a coffee bar and bulk foods department, and an in-store nutritionist to answer questions about healthy eating. Strawberry Fields, on Springfield Avenue in Urbana.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 30th of March, 2012. It's the birthday of the French poet Paul Verlaine, born in Metz in the northeast of France, 1844. Paul Verlaine, who wrote, "You must let your poems ride their luck on the back of the sharp morning air, touched with the fragrance of mint and thyme, and everything else is literature." It's the birthday of Vincent van Gogh, born in Zundert, Holland, 1853, painter and also a great letter writer, who wrote about religion, friendship, his unhappy love affairs, his bipolar disorder, wrote thousands of letters to his brother Theo, and Theo's widow published the first complete edition of Van Gogh's letters in 1913. Van Gogh wrote, "I have a terrible need of, shall I say the word, religion. Then I go out and paint the stars." And he wrote, "What am I in the eyes of most people? A non-entity, an eccentric or an unpleasant person, somebody who has no position in society and will never have, in short, the lowest of the low. All right, then, even if that were absolutely true, then I should one day like to show by my work what such an eccentric, such a nobody, has in his heart." It's the birthday of the novelist John Hassler, born Minneapolis, 1933, English teacher for many years. His first novel, Staggerford, was published when he was 42. John Hassler, who said he learned his craft at the Red Owl grocery store in Plainview, Minnesota, where he started working when he was 11. He said, "It was there that I acquired the latent qualities necessary to the novelist, namely the fun of picking the individual out of a crowd and the joy of finding the precise words to describe him." It's the birthday of the Irish playwright Sean O'Casey, born Dublin, 1880, born into a middle-class family, but he was the first Irish playwright to feature the lives of the working class in plays such as Juno and the Paycock and The Plough and the Stars. And it's the birthday of Ray Magliazzi, Cambridge, Massachusetts, 1949, the co-host with his brother Tom of Car Talk. In 1973, he and his brother opened Hacker's Heaven, a do-it-yourself garage space where people could come and work on their own cars. But as it turned out, a lot of them didn't know what they were doing, and so the Magliazzi brothers ended up doing most of the repairs themselves. So they converted Hacker's Heaven to a more conventional car repair shop, which they called the Good News Garage, which Ray still runs in addition to doing Car Talk on public radio. Here's a poem for today by Joyce Sutphen entitled Grounded. My father will not climb into the trees today. He is 84 and tells me that he was never fond of heights, that he hated